So, what should we do tonight?
Anything's better than last night.
All right, then we should do something.
Something sounds good.
I have an idea. Why don't we rent a video tonight?
Yeah, can we please?
On a weeknight?
Yeah, come on, Mom, it's okay.
Sure, come on. Let's throw caution to the wind.
Welcome to The Movie Cellar, presented by Gods of the Show, the Alita Army, where we have a VHS collection, an internet connection, and uninformed opinions. My name is Lily, and I have type 1 diabetes. You're listening to the series VHS for T1D, presented by King of the Series, Jack Thorne. This is a series where you donate to the JDRF and then you get to pick a movie for my dad and his friends to watch. Thank you for your donations and enjoy the show.
I love Witch. Here we go. You guys ready to do this?
Yes.
George, you're all set? You took your leak?
I took my leak. I'm smoking some more.
All right.
I'm good to go.
I think we should just call this the intro, because I feel like whenever we try to like normally come in on the intro, it just sounds like so awkward. So this is how we're coming in. This is the intro. Chris, I want you to do this from the very beginning, okay?
Sure.
All right. So I'm Dan.
I'm George.
I'm producer Chris.
What's that? What was that before producer Chris?
I said I'm George.
Oh, okay, because it sounded like...
I didn't realize we were doing that because you said that was the intro.
So well, we still had to tell people who we are, man. Even if we like just came in with a soft intro, we have to eventually say our names. What if they're listening for the first time ever?
I wasn't expecting it, and I was mid-inhale when you...
Mid-inhale? Inhaling air?
Yeah, air with THC in it.
Oh, shit, man. Well, you know, at least... If you're vaping, you're not coughing anymore, so that's good.
Fuck you, Dan.
Coughing makes bad radio. Can you call podcasting radio, by the way?
Yeah, it basically is.
Yeah, it is. It's like the modern radio. It's like 21st century radio, right? It's like podcasting and Sirius. That's what we got.
Okay.
Oh, my God. That's quality. Whatever the fuck it is, it's not quality. I can tell you that much. All right. So this is a VHS for T1D episode. We're in the marathon. What are we, 4 weeks into the marathon at this point?
I have no idea.
Well, we're working on it. You know, we're working on getting our way through just this huge backlog that we have, because we have so many awesome people who have donated to the JDRF, and they want us to watch fucking movies for them. So that's what we're trying to do. Yeah.
Making it happen.
Yeah. So,
that's what's happening.
We've done Chris like a whole bunch of crazy shit. We watched crazy Twilight, which was, oh my God, George, is this what you're doing? Chris, how do we get him off the call? We'll call you back, George, when we're ready to hear you talk, all right? Fuck, man. So we did Twilight. What else have we done that was kind of out there? Anything yet? I guess not.
No, not really.
No, we did that episode. I did that episode with Lily and Danny, The Hate U Give, which was good, and I definitely would recommend people check it out. It's something that, you know, we kind of talk about, you know, the racial issues in our country right now, because that's what that movie's about. And even if you don't listen to the episode, you should definitely check out that movie. So that we had an opportunity to do that, which was cool too. And we watched a lot of shit, and we're going to talk about another one tonight. This is definitely up there in the crazy side, I would say. Would you guys agree?
Yes.
So, you know, VHS for T1D is our campaign to try to raise money for the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation to find a cure for type 1 diabetes.
So your kids will go to bed.
That's right. Exactly. So that my daughter doesn't wake up at, you know, 11 o'clock at night and have low blood sugar and need me to give her candy to keep her from passing out, you know? But also just because there's a lot of other, you know, major complications that come with type 1 diabetes, and being dependent the rest of your life on medication is not a very exciting place to be, especially considering the cost of, you know, pharmaceuticals in America and all that shit. So we'd love a cure. That would mean a lot to us. And it means a lot to us that you guys are donating money to help us try to find a cure. And, you know, depending on how much money you donate, we have different tiers, different prizes. Is prize the right word? Gifts? Rewards?
I mean,
rewards.
George said consequences last week.
Consequences. I like that. There are different consequences. Maybe that's what we should do, guys. Like, the less money you give, like, or like, the more money you give, the less, I don't know, the fewer the consequences. So if you give no money, we'll just like talk shit about you on the show. And then if you give a lot of money, then we won't talk shit.
Yeah,
about
to all you
show.
People that don't donate.
That's
fuck
right.
You.
We're going to have to go through a list of like billions of people on the earth. But I'm okay with that. We can do whatever we got to do. Yeah. So if you look in the show notes, we'll put the tiers down there. But just know if you give $20 or more, we'll do an episode just like this for you. And yeah. I think that we'll just do it like that from now on. We'll just put the tiers in the show notes and not have to go through it, because it's very redundant.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm with you.
All right.
That'll cut down on some time.
It will definitely cut down on some time. Although I'm sure people will be disappointed.
I was going to bed like 3 hours earlier.
You know, people will be disappointed to not hear us say the same fucking thing over and over and over again. But at least we're filling that time.
Oh,
with,
absolutely.
At least we're filling that time with talking about how we're not going to fill that time with that thing.
Yeah, that's just like us.
Okay. So tonight we're doing, this is actually the second episode that we've done. So we did Gremlins 2 for Grand Rapidians Play Video Games. We actually had them on with us when we did that one. That was before, I think, the marathon, when we were just doing these every other week on our off weeks from our regular season.
Yeah, that was
episodes.
A while ago.
Yeah, so, but they were on, they donated for that. And then Ginger from Grand Rapidians decided that she wanted to donate again. Because we weren't tortured enough by watching Gremlins 2. Yeah, well, thank you. Yes, thank you. We are grateful for your donation. The movie you picked was really interesting, and I'm really excited for Three Dudes to talk about this movie. We're talking about the 2016, I don't even know what genre to define it as. Horror, comedy, suspense.
Horror comedy.
The Love Witch. The Love Witch. So it's very full of feminist philosophy. And we will probably do a terrible job at digging into that stuff, but we're going to try, because you donated and that's our job, to try to do our best to discuss the movie as best we can. So, having said that, who wants to attack the plot summary?
Well, Chris said he could do it in like 3 or 4 sentences.
Oh,
that sounds exciting.
George was on the line.
Oh, yeah, I muted me, not you guys. It's not like I fucking hung up.
Well, I wish I knew you were on the line. I would have talked more shit about you.
Okay. So,
3 or 4 sentences.
Said it anyway.
I would not have talked shit about you behind your back, George. I only talk shit about you to your face.
This right, that's woman, what I'm saying. Is anything
oh
that
God,
you would have said
are
thinking
you
that
do
I wasn't
this?
There?
So you're gonna fucking
you would have
go
said
back and forth?
Stupid.
Well, yes, right we're now. Gonna go back and forth. Listen, don't say things like, don't be derogatory.
Stupid.
We're about to talk about
stupid.
And how men
Damn
are afraid
it,
of them.
I'm on fucking roll tonight. I'm saying really stupid shit.
I think it's perfect. I think it's fantastic. But listen.
All right.
I got to finish what I was saying about George. And then you can get into your plot summary. George, my point was, if I thought you were on the line listening, I would have talked more shit about you. That's my point.
Oh, right. Yeah.
The opposite of the way that you understood it.
No, I didn't say you'd say more if you thought I was off the line. I'm saying you thought I was off the line, but anything that you would have said at that point, you would have said with me on the line anyway. That's what, so I was saying more. The same thing as you with dumb words.
Dumber words. Okay. Yep. I mean, it's kind of like Star Trek if you think about it.
Yeah, but you really got to watch the old episodes.
That's true. That's
like,
a not, fact.
Like, you can't just watch Khan. Like, you gotta that's really
right.
get into
that's
it.
That's right. Next Generation or just the OG?
No, the OG. I mean, Next Generation's great, but you got to start with the OG. Mm-hmm. That's where you get the love of it.
Okay. Well, where do you get the love from The Love Witch, Chris? Why don't you tell us all about this movie?
Okay, so this all young witch, this young, well, she's a young woman. She appears to be young anyway. And she's determined to find somebody to love her. She says that she had a husband and then whatever, all this weird shit happens. He ended up dying, blah, blah, blah. So she gets this apartment and she makes spells and potions in this apartment. And she picks up men and seduces them. Like the first guy that she picks up in the movie, she's out at a park eating like a ham sandwich or something, picks him up. They do it. He ends up dying, or he like goes like cries after, and she says he gets all too emotional or something like that. Yeah. Anyway, he ends up dying. She puts this weird, disgusting bottle of like her pee and
no, like, dude, it's a tampon. Yeah, it's like a tampon right, and a bunch of herbs.
The fluid is her urine.
Oh, right, and then a bunch of herbs and shit.
Yeah, so. So I guess you would say that her spells work too well and she has a bunch of victims because she casts spells on these guys and they all end up dying. So I guess her spells are working too well. Is that how? Yeah. Anyway, so she casts spells and she has a bunch of victims and then she meets the man. She finally meets the man of her dreams, which is her landlord's friend, because that lady in the beginning that like introduced her to the Victorian house is her landlord's friend. I don't think that's the landlord. Am I right?
Yeah. The landlord's friend. I think you're right. I think that's right. Because, I don't think it's important.
You are correct.
But well, it's kind of important because I'm referring to her husband. I believe that's the love of Elaine. The witch's life. I think that's how that worked out.
Like, she moves on to the detective.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so she ends up the husband of the landlord's friend's whatever. The guy dies, and then she ends up getting into it with the sheriff, and that ends up being the love of her life. Her desperation, everything that. Like her desperation to be loved and everything has driven her to murder all along the way, and then it ends with the sheriff at the end of the movie.
And
happy ever after. End cut scene. Done.
That's inaccurate, dude. She kills him.
Does she?
Yeah, what the fuck?
She stabs him in the fucking jail.
Oh, that's right, dude. That's right.
I mean, she might have lived happily ever after.
He's the only one that she deliberately kills.
Killed on purpose, yeah.
Well, he's the only one that... I don't think that that's true, and we can get further into that. But he's the only one that she kills. She physically kills.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that... Yes.
Listen, that's a 2-week-old plot summary right there. It was fucking perfect.
It wasn't, yeah, but it was good.
that was ideal. That was good enough.
Yeah, man, that was fantastic. Okay, so the Love Witch is like very, very obviously like a nod to like 60s and 70s sort of.
Dude,
like,
they did such a good job with it too.
It's really
the recording style.
It is. Well, it was shot in 35mm in 2016. It was shot without. It was not. It did not use digital. Film or like it didn't use digital cameras like 4 years ago, you know. That's crazy.
That's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, like what I read was like it was like one of the last major movies to ever be made on 35mm. I mean, I don't know how major of a movie it was, but
what's his face uses 35mm? Pulp Fiction. Fuck.
Quentin Tarantino?
Tarantino uses 35mm.
Are you sure, like,
we've
in his newest movies? Like,
I don't know. We've talked about it before, though, that he would use 35mm until, and when he couldn't, he would stop making movies.
Yeah, I don't know that that's still accurate. Anyway, I mean, what I read was it was one of the last anyway. So,
and there was a lot of nods. I was looking up stuff about the movie during it because I was intrigued. There's a lot of nods to Hitchcock movies in this movie. Now, some of the references I don't get because I haven't seen the movies, but the opening scene of her driving in the car is very much like Psycho.
Oh yeah.
Just in color.
Yeah.
So, because they were talking about the rear projection when they're driving, like that's all Hitchcock.
I loved that they used rear projection when they didn't have to.
Right. Know? No, it's I really like that effect, even though like they don't have to. You could have the real background, but it like the feeling it gives the movie. Maybe it's just because I like the Hitchcock movies that it. It's no, cool.
But that was the whole vibe, was like they wanted it to feel like a movie made in the 60s. And like you go from like, you know, from everything from like the 35 millimeter to like doing that on, you know, with the background to like the lighting and the color choices and like the, you know, the sets, like those homes that they would go into, the clothes that they would wear, the makeup, you know, everything. It felt like, honestly, when I first started watching it, I thought that it was supposed to take place in the 60s. And then I saw like modern cars driving by. Right.
Yeah.
So like her car is not a modern car, but other modern cars drive by.
Right.
And then I'm like, oh, maybe that's just like an anachronism where they, you know, they just couldn't afford to like either shoot where there's no other cars or get cheap, you know, get older cars. But then I think there's like cell phones in it too. So it's clearly not supposed to be in the 60s, but it's supposed to have that vibe to where you're almost like this feels like it was made in the 60s.
Yeah.
And they do a fantastic job of it.
Totally. That's probably honestly my favorite part of the movie.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair. You didn't think like, how did you connect with the feminist message of the movie?
I didn't.
Yeah. It's
because I'm not a female.
I mean, you can be a feminist and not be female, you know. It just means that that you support the movement for female empowerment and female equality.
I just don't see how this has anything to do with that. I mean, they have their talks when they're at the table in that like the all pink like dining room. They have the landlord. I'm gonna call her the landlord even though she's not. And Elaine, they have chats around like female empowerment. Like she, because Elaine's saying, "Oh, you just give a man whatever he wants," and then the landlord, don't remember her name, was like, "No, that's, you know, that's really, that's not what we do." Like she like loses respect for Elaine because she said that. So I can see the talk. I can see it happening in the movie, but other than that very explicit moment,
okay,
I don't see how any of the rest
so
of the movie speaks.
The whole entire movie is about female empowerment and male fear of female empowerment. I mean, she like Elaine exercises power over men. That's like the whole concept of the movie from end to end. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that is a message of female empowerment. That is a message of like, you know, like she can do whatever she wants and she is using her femininity to do whatever she wants. And the men around her are all either like victims or like afraid of her. And like it really plays on the idea of like, oh, if women had the power to do what they wanted, they would just like destroy men, you know, this like idea of like a femme fatale, right? Like a powerful woman is a danger to men. And it plays off of that in sort of like a cheeky kind of way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then like, obviously the magic is all like very wrapped up in femininity. I keep fucking that word up.
You should say it the other way.
Femininity.
Like yeah.
But like the magic's all like very feminine magic, right? Like it's very
It was all very Wiccan. like yeah. actual real Wiccan teachings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You gonna go more into that?
Or so like it wasn't just that it was feminine, like it was like that's how Wiccan is.
So Wiccan is feminine.
Yes.
Okay. And I mean, no, I don't think it was an accident that the magic that they use in the film is like feminine magic when like the whole vibe of the movie is like female empowerment. So like, yeah, sure. Maybe it is Wiccan and maybe Wiccan, you know, Wiccan's like focus on female magic or whatever. But like, you know, the shit with like her putting her tampon in the mason jar and like, everything she was doing, like she cast these spells on these guys and then like use her like sexuality to sort of like entrance them. It was very much like her magic came from her being a woman.
Yeah. She was exerting her will. Is that how she put it to the other woman?
Yeah. Yeah. And like this idea of like, you make them think that they're getting what they want, but really
exerting her will and using psychedelics.
Yeah. Yeah, the psychedelics help. It's funny because like the whole movie, I kind of like was thinking, does she actually have any magical powers or like is she just like, you know, really pretty and these guys are like dudes who just are very thirsty, right? I guess thirsty is more of.
I never felt like she had actual magical powers. I felt like it was just all 100%. That's just who her character was.
I didn't think so either until the very end when you see that other woman whose husband she killed finds all of her voodoo dolls of these men who ended up killing themselves in, or like her husband at least kills himself in the way that she had done her voodoo doll. Right. And like these men are literally going crazy for her, you know? So with the first dude, I kind of thought maybe she just gave him psychedelics that ultimately like poisoned him and he died. But the second dude like committed suicide because he couldn't like live life without this woman that he like banged one time. Like that feels very much like, and plus the voodoo doll shit and her using those feels very much like there was actually magic happening. Good.
Yeah.
That's a good sign.
I'm not convinced.
Okay. I mean, you don't think it's weird that a dude who like was generally like okay with his life just kills himself after like being obsessed with this woman for a week?
Weird, yes. Magic, no.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. And the fact that she had a voodoo doll with like the pins in it and like that was how he killed himself.
You know, you'd get it if you watched Star Trek.
That's true. That's a good point. Or if I knew Wiccan, apparently. George, you just come to the table with so much, like, previous knowledge that just, how could any of the rest of us compete with that?
I'm not asking you to compete.
Yeah, I can't. I really can't. But you know who could? Elaine could. She could, like, fuck up your day.
Oh, yeah, she
could. Or your whole life. I love that her name's Elaine because I just kept thinking of Elaine from Seinfeld and that made it a lot funnier to me. It didn't sound like a super like sexy, sultry name. You know, it just seemed kind of like a generic 90s name. But that could just be my, you know, love for Seinfeld coming through. But does Elaine sound like a sexy 60s name to you?
Yeah.
No. I like how we're polar opposite.
I love it.
No, it doesn't.
No, I didn't think
so
either.
But what is a sexy name from the 60s?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I know...
Jane Fonda?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's like a full name.
Barbarella, man.
Sunshine? I don't fucking know, man. But I just know that name didn't strike me as fitting to that character, but that again could just be my preconceptions from being a Seinfeld fan. But the movie was made in 2016. It was made in a world where Seinfeld had been made, you know, so they made that choice knowingly. Man, I really feel like nobody's fill in the space here besides me. So anybody else have anything to add to this?
No, not at all.
No, not at all.
George.
I liked how they had the story, like, where they talked about her previous husband, and like they kept peppering that in and giving you more and more and more.
Yeah.
That added a lot to it.
No, go ahead.
Like you guys had talked about, I really liked the way that they did the filming and the light.
Yes.
Really well. And the whole movie, like it was put together really well. Like it didn't have a lot of stops and starts that, you know, confused you. It just, you just followed and it did its thing.
Yeah. I you know, even to add to the sort of to the 60s vibe, like even the sound, like the sound engineering, the way that, you know, the way that the she did like the voiceovers, right? And then like even the conversational, like the dialogue audio, and then the music, like everything had that sort of graininess, I guess, that you would expect from something from the 60s. They did a really good job of making it feel like it was from that time.
They did.
With what seems like not like taking modern approaches and then filtering it back, but actually trying to use the technology they had used then to make it work the way it worked then, which was right. A very neat concept. And, you know, and to like sort of add to like the whole like female empowerment and like sort of all that conversation, like love is this huge theme that runs throughout it too, right? Like where she, like the whole, her whole like motivation throughout the film from end to end is like to find like her true love, right? So like her husband, who's sort of the catalyst, who you never really meet in the movie, doesn't love her back, right? That was what it was, right?
Yeah. That's what she claimed. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what she claimed. That's a good point. And then so she's trying to find, so she's obsessed with him, and she's obsessed with this idea of being loved. And so she, you know, there's the other men who do love her and are obsessed with her, and it destroys them. And then she finally finds a man, you know, and she acts like they're so weak and pathetic because they're obsessed with her. But then she finally finds a man who's not obsessed with her, and she doesn't want, she's like, no, fuck you. You're not obsessed with me. You don't even deserve to live. To be fair, if he lived, he was going to, you know, prosecute her because, you know, he was a detective and he knew that she had killed a bunch of dudes. But even so, like, you know, she doesn't, it seems like there's really no satisfaction in love for her. Either guys are so pathetic because they're so obsessed with her and infatuated with her because of her magic, or maybe not because of her magic.
Right. Depends. She complains that he's emotional like a woman.
Yes. Yes. She's super horrible. Like that first guy. Although to be fair, he was like a sniveling. I was so ready for that dude to die.
She fucking drugged him up without
I don't
him
care.
Knowing. Like,
I don't care.
Super strong psychedelics. Like,
I mean, without him knowing, she's like, here, drink this, drink all this. Like, he made so many fucking stupid ass decisions. You know, I don't.
He was horny, man.
I know.
He was thinking with his dick.
He was thinking with his dick 100%. Because she's like, here, drink this thing. And doesn't he ask her what's in it? And she's like, eh,
right.
It's just a thing I made.
Right. And he just thinks it's like a mixed drink that's extra strong.
Yeah, he's like, wow, that tastes really strong. She's like, all right, drink it all up. Like, dude, fucking red flags everywhere. Not to mention you found this random woman in a park and she just wants to go fuck you. Like, oh, and cook you a steak dinner. Maybe that should be concerning to you, you know? But again,
maybe, but he was thinking of his dick.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if a really attractive woman came up to me, if I were single and wanted all of those things.
That was important
to
throw on the front there.
Pretty sure I'd
make those mistakes.
Hook, line, and sinker. Yeah, hook, line, and sinker on that one.
Dude, because dudes are, we're so fucking stupid, man. We're so fucking stupid. We would 100% walk just right into a fucking...
We could all be kidnapped so easily.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Yeah, man. Just, like, show us some titties and, like, it's over. You know, the whole thing's over.
Pretty much.
Yeah. It's bad
news. You want this steak?
You know, not to tie
it's not a guy. It's not a guy pulling up in a van with candy. It's a woman rolling up with a steak.
Yeah. No shirt and a steak. You know, that's going to do it. That's going to be the end. And I think most guys, even if they knew, like, it was going to be the end, their question wouldn't, they wouldn't just, like, run the other way. Their question would be like, do I get the titties and steak before I die? You know?
Yes, exactly.
To, like, determine if it's worth it or not.
Like, that sounds like a good way to go, you know?
I mean, there's worse, you know? But yeah. I don't know that it is worse, because, like, that seemed like those guys were very fucking miserable when they were dying.
Yes.
And, yes, that's true. And not to tie it back to Seinfeld again, but have you guys seen the episode where, like, Seinfeld's, like, he's picturing his brain and his dick, like, having a chess match to try to decide what to do?
Because
there's a girl.
That sounds great.
There's a girl that, like, is, you know, not good for him. She's, like, really stupid and vapid, I think. And he's, like, his brain is, like, dude, get her the fuck out of here. But his dick is, like, nah, dude. What are you talking about? And the best part is like, they're like sitting at his like little dining room table and they're playing chess and his dick is like him, but he's like wearing all like beige, like clothes and he's wearing like a beige army hat. So, you know, he like literally looks like a dick. It's fantastic. I would highly recommend it. And I think it's a very good, analysis of the male psyche. So maybe that's what they were alluding to by naming the character Elaine. You think so, George?
I don't know. It doesn't sound like a very Star Trek thing to do.
It's true. Okay. So one other thing I wanted to bring up. Have you guys ever seen the movie Season of the Witch by George Romero?
Nope.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think so.
So it's like, it was this movie that he made that was like pretty... you know, it like kind of went, it was very obscure. Like he made it and then it never really took off. It was like marketed as like softcore porn. It never even had like a consistent name. It was named like Season of the Witch, or another title was Hungry Wives, or another title was Jack's Wife. It was like all over the place. So anyway, it was this movie that he made in the 70s. And it was about this woman who was like a housewife who was like bored with her life. And, you know, I think her daughter had grown up and moved out or was like off to college. And, you know, so this woman is like, her husband is like not doing it for her. And, you know, her life is pretty boring. And so she decides to get into magic. And, like witchcraft and shit, probably Wicca. Who knows, George? You have to watch it so you can tell me if it's Wiccan. There's tarot readings. So probably that's Wiccan, right?
They use that. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, she's like getting into this shit and like, she's this very meek, mild woman. And like, as she gets more and more into the magic stuff, she feels like stuff is starting to happen. And like she has access to this magic, and so it starts to empower her and she gets more like free, you know, and she starts getting like, she smokes some weed and like, she starts like getting like promiscuous and shit like that. And I think like she ends up killing her husband or something at the end, but doesn't that sound very similar to this movie?
It does.
Yeah,
it does.
So that's what I kept thinking while I was watching.
So what we've
it.
Learned is if you do drugs, you'll kill someone.
Well, if you do the weeds, you know.
Yeah, if the you weeds do the specifically. Weeds,
yeah. I mean, that was a message that they were trying to push back in the day. It's like, if you smoke weed, you will kill people. I mean, we should watch Reefer Madness sometime. We can get all into that.
Chris, have you seen Reefer Madness?
Chris? He's muted. Fucker's muted.
Chris, are you cleaning?
No.
Are you cleaning your office?
No, Henry woke up real quick and I had to leave for a second without saying anything.
That's fair enough. Have you seen Reefer Madness?
Reefer Madness. Is that
yes.
what you said?
Yes.
Yeah, have you seen
no.
that?
No, I haven't. Oh.
It's Love pretty it. Funny. It's like this. Was it from the '50s, George? It was like a. It was like a PSA movie where they were like trying to get kids to not smoke weed by like scaring the shit out of them. And it's funny though. Like eventually they just realize like nobody's really scared of smoking weed. So the next tactic became like in like the '80s. I think it was the '80s when they started to do the. Gateway
the
drug.
DARE program.
Well, no, I was gonna say yeah. like weed is a gateway drug. That when they started calling it a gateway drug, they had given up, right? Because they were like, okay, it's not actually bad, so we've got to now find a new angle to make it sound bad. So maybe right. we'll just try to make people think if they smoke weed, then the next thing they're gonna be doing like black tar heroin. although now there's a lot of research into the possibility that weed is a good way to potentially curb heroin addiction, but
interesting.
Yeah. So like a medical maintenance sort of program, and that does not involve opiates, like methadone. And so instead of doing like right. methadone, it's like a marijuana maintenance program. But anyway, that's really neither here nor there in this episode. But I would definitely recommend if somebody's into The Love Witch, they should check out Season of the Witch. I think it's on Tubi. I think it's on all those free services. And if you don't find it under that name, look for Hungry Wives. I would have never watched it except that it was made by George A. Romero. I'm a big fan of his. You know, although The Love Witch is actually like directed and produced and written by like a woman, which gives it a little bit more sway as far as female empowerment is concerned.
Empowerment, yeah.
Exactly. As opposed to like a super white dude from Pittsburgh making making a movie about female empowerment. Okay.
Right.
Well, then shall we score this movie? Are you guys ready for that, or yes. does anyone have anything else they want to add to the conversation? Anything else about feminism
no.
or magic? George, you want to tell us anything more about Wiccan? Who's the deity of Wiccan?
Nah, I'm not going with this.
You don't know? George?
I'll what take the fuck? Silence doesn't know.
You don't know? You don't know about Wiccan?
No, man.
I thought you knew. Is it Satan? Is Satan the god of Wiccan?
Don't they have a goddess? Isn't that the thing?
I mean, I tried to sell Wiccan as a feminine magic, and you acted all like that was stupid. But they have a goddess, you're
it's
saying.
It's not just feminine. It's both, man.
Yeah.
It's just open.
It's just open. It's open season. Oh, how did you guys like the dick in the movie? There's lots of dick in the movie. Flaccid dick at that.
When the first dick happened, I'm like, oh, because Pam was watching it with me. I'm like, look, we've seen more wiener than we have boobs so far.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I mean,
and that's like
thing.
It was just that one dude. They just hired that one dude to just stand around
and
naked
with
his like, you know, flaccid penis out. I mean,
yep.
I'm sure he got paid good money, but Jesus Christ, no thank you.
I mean, there were boobs everywhere in the first one. I mean, there were boobs. We were seeing where they were back to, but they're like in that circle. They're going through some sort of like ritual or whatever, and he's just there, and they're all topless, but we don't see it. You just see his wiener. So he's got.
I love that he used the word wiener.
He does,
sounds
he does
like I'm talking
well.
About
his diggling.
Yeah,
he does very well not being at least semi hard with his boobs everywhere.
Dude, you gotta tone it down there, buddy. We're trying to record this. You need a flaccid penis.
All right, we've turned this into a movie seller episode.
I mean, you
Next.
Know, flaccid penises. You know that it happens.
It does happen.
It happened to that guy.
It was cold.
Yeah, I was in the pool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's something else.
Another Seinfeld. Man, who knew? The Love Witch and Seinfeld had so many ties. Who knew?
Yeah, they're basically the same thing.
I mean, it is like an episode of Seinfeld, really, when you get down to it. I think that that's true. Okay.
Relax. Don't do it.
Don't do
when
it.
When you want to go to it, relax.
Is that the words? So, don't do it? I thought it was go to it. I thought it was go to it.
Might be go to it. I have no idea.
All right.
I thought it was don't do it.
Now I'm going to look it up. Relax, yeah, lyrics. It's like... Relax. Don't do it. When you want to go to it. Just like I said, guys, relax, don't do it.
So I was right.
I always thought it was relax. That makes so much more sense. I always thought it was relax, go to it when you want to go to it. So it's like, they're just saying,
it's
look.
When you want to come.
No, they're just saying, listen, when you want, relax and go to it when you want to go to it. You know, if that's what you want, then that's what you should do.
Nah, they're saying take a deep breath and make that shit last.
Oh, is that what it is? When you want to sock it to it, when you want to come. Is that so you're trying to like make it, you're trying to just make, why, if you're,
it's like, it's,
if it's about fapping,
about baseball,
if it's about fapping, then why would you want it to last? I mean, that's not the name of the game.
I didn't say it was
the name of the game when you're beating off is just to get it done as quick as possible. Look, it's like you're not having a romantic evening with your, you know, with your hand. You're just trying to blow off some steam.
Oh my god.
All right, Chris, what'd you give this movie for a score, huh?
I can appreciate the way it was recorded.
Yes.
And everything they did to make it very 60s. They did a really good job with it.
Yes.
I did not enjoy the movie at all. I was
because you hate
very
feminism.
Bored.
It's because you hate feminism and you are just a male chauvinistic pig.
That's what we're going to go with.
Yep.
So I think based on like the recording style and stuff, like that earns, that's like, that's got some clout to it. That's like, that's a really cool thing.
Yes.
So,
and they did it well.
They did it very well. Yep. So I'm going to give it a 6. I didn't enjoy it. So that's as good as it's going to get for me.
That's fair.
Metal moment. When she stabs I forgot that it happened until you guys said it. When she stabs her husband, Sheriff, to death. So there we go.
Oh yeah. I forgot she tricks him into marrying her too.
Yeah.
Did you mention that in the plot summary?
Nope.
That was great. She tricks him into marrying her. She's like, oh, this is just for fun. This is not real. Also, like, what in the fucking hell? They're just out in the woods riding horses and like,
there's like a
carnival. There's this awesome like medieval carnival going on of all these people that I already know.
Like if okay, in a plot summary, if you try to mention all of that, we'd still be doing the plot
summary. Yeah, and that's not a criticism of you. Like, I'm just saying, like, I forgot that was a part of it. And, like, the movie sucks you in, like, in such a way that, like, it doesn't seem fucking insane, you know, when you're watching it and that happens. But, like, if you just think about it in, like, just real life, that would be really weird, you know?
Yes, it would.
Just be, like, out in the woods riding horses and then just, like, oh, look, this is happening here. And the dude's just like, yeah, fuck it. Let's roll with it, you know?
Right.
Again, thinking with his dick.
Pretty much. Damn, men.
Men. We're the worst. We're so stupid. Georgie, what do you got for us?
I'm going to give it a 7. It was done really well, but I'm just not the target audience.
I mean, a 7's a good score.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was done really well. So I think it earns, like Chris was saying, that definitely earns it some points. It's just, I don't know, it's a 7 that I probably won't ever watch again.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not for me. But it was done really well, and I can appreciate that. So, yeah that's that. Metal moment, I would say, right before she stabs him, when she's basically just trying to manipulate him and he's like, fuck you, woman. Justice is going to win over titties today. And that's the metal moment.
Well, you kind of start to see, like, you start to see that might, like, that that sort of like collision of their perspectives is going to happen when they're each talking to their friend about their, you know, their views of like love and stuff. You remember,
right?
He's talking to his buddy or whatever, and he's like, yeah, you know how it is with women. Like, they're really great at first, but then you kind of get like bored of them, and then you got to get rid of them. And you're like, okay, this is a dude who has a very different perspective than the other dudes that she's manipulated, you know? And then she's talking about how she's so into him and so in love with him, and how like she saw him in her dreams and shit. And she has this like view of love that's like this magical thing that's like bigger than, you know, it's like the end all be all. And he's like, nah, I'm not about that. He's very practical, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, you're cool, but like, I'm going to get bored of you. So
he was just in it for the skin, man. He didn't want anything more than that.
Yeah. Well, you know, as long as he was honest about it, you know, as long as everybody's honest, that's all that matters. As long as everyone's honest and everybody's involved voluntarily.
Yeah. I mean, she was the one doling out the roofies. So
that's true. I mean, again, though, it's not like the dudes, like she hands the dudes this shit and they like just go, okay. Even when they ask her what it is and she won't tell them.
Yep.
You know, I don't want a victim.
The dick is not very smart.
No, it's not.
Because they're men.
Yep. All right. Good. Good, good. So I would probably give this movie, what'd you give it, George? A 7?
Yep.
I would probably also give it a 7. I think technically it was very, very well executed. And we've already been over that thoroughly, so I won't belabor that point anymore. I think it's so campy and it's so heavy-handed that it's hard to get into. And I don't know that that's because we're not the target audience. Like, it doesn't feel like a movie that anyone could really, like, I don't know, get sucked into the world of the movie, like into the story. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I guess it depends on if they were big fans of Star Trek or not.
Yeah, I mean, I never thought of that, but other than big fans of Star Trek,
then yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's true. I mean, when did Star Trek start? In the 60s or 70s?
I don't fucking know.
You're the fucking fan, dude. You don't even know?
I don't know.
Well, shit, dude. Get your act together.
Dates are not my strong suit.
Yeah. Well, that's why you're married now, right? Because, you know, no dates. Just married.
Right.
God, I'm getting nothing out of you. Nothing.
Nope. Nothing.
Okay. So,
it's not my fault that wasn't funny.
I think that it was funny. I think that you're just, I was just having this conversation with someone earlier when it's like, you know, you say something funny and then no one around you appreciates it. And you're like, was that just not funny? Or like, are they just too stupid? And I usually just assume that you're just too stupid because it makes me feel better than thinking that I wasn't funny.
It's a good plan.
I guess what I'm saying about the movie is just like, it's a really interesting thing to look at, but I don't know that it works as like an immersive film. And I think the movies that work the best are the ones where you feel immersed. Like, the characters all felt very two-dimensional. The whole thing just felt like,
right, there's no character that like you want to follow,
right?
There's no one that you sympathize with or care about,
right? So it just felt like really like an effort to make, like, they got together and they said, we want to make sort of like a 60s campy feminist film. And that's where they started. And then they built sort of a story and plot that would allow them to do what they wanted to do. But at the end of the day, when you watch it, it feels like...
Is that something you looked up, or is that your opinion?
That's what the fuck? That's my opinion. What do you mean?
Well, you said that that's where they started. Like, you're saying their motivation of how
I'm
they
saying that's
movie,
what it feels like when you watch it. What I'm saying is, like, when you watch it, that's what it feels like. It feels like they started with, like, we have this cool idea. We want to try to make a film like this. And then they added a plot and a story and characters and all that. All
right.
You know what I mean? Like, so it was much more of like the experiment of making a 60s film in 2016 than it was about actually telling the story. That's how it felt.
I get what you're saying. Yeah.
So anyway, the experiment worked well. And so that gives it a lot of points. But it's just, Ginger, you're listening. Hopefully you paid for this episode. Hopefully you're listening. Tell us, is this a movie that like you get really into and you watch it and you want to watch it over and over again? Or is it just something that you're like, this is really cool to see. It's really cool to see how they did it. It's kind of fun, kind of wild, and you know, an experience. So that's kind of the way I view it. So that's kind of what I'm wondering if anybody views it any differently. I'd love to hear it, you know?
Yeah. So on any of our socials.
Yes.
With no underscores or anything.
Well, what's no underscores or anything?
Our name.
Yeah. The Movie Cellar. The Movie Cellar on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And you can email us. And you can email us at themoviecellar@gmail.com. In that particular case, the @ sign is after our name instead of before it. And then there's a gmail.com after the @ sign. Because that's how email addresses work.
I assumed that if they were technically minded enough to listen to a podcast, that they would know how to, you know, do Google.
Listen,
email.
I've had to like take
if
people's
I know
phone.
How to do it,
listen,
I
I've
feel,
had to take
I just
people's
assume everyone knows how.
I've had to take people's phones and install like Spotify. And then
that's not because they didn't know how. That's because they didn't really want to. And they were like, if you're going to do it and make yourself feel like I have it now, then just okay.
You know, that's a possibility. I don't again, this is kind of like the joke thing where it's like, is it because the joke's not funny or because you don't get it? In this particular case, I'm asking myself, are you not able to download this because you don't want to or because you don't know how? I'm going to assume it's because you don't know how and you really do want to.
So you take the choice away and you just do it for them.
Exactly. Because that's how much I care about our show. You know, I want to get it out there. I want the people to hear it because we're doing this for a greater good now, guys. You know, these episodes, every one of these is giving some money to the JDRF. And so we got to like get people fucking listening. They don't even need to listen. They just need to pay for episodes. So
it's true.
I would prefer that they listen to them, but you know, the JDRF gets the money whether they listen or not. I mean, they get the money whether we make the episode or not. But
yeah, they already got the money.
They already got
a lot of cases a long time ago.
Yeah, they probably already spent it. They got it. They spent it. They're moving along. They need more
staples. They stapled shit.
Yes. Do they? People still staple shit? I guess they.
I do.
Yeah. What do you staple, Chris?
I have all like, the online contracts and all their work they do to plan the wedding.
Right.
I have it all on the interwebs, but just in case, I print it all. So
look at you, man.
I just staple it all together.
Physical copies. I love it. I love it.
Hell yeah.
All right, gentlemen. That is The Love Witch. Hopefully we did this justice, Ginger.
Thank you, Ginger.
I don't know if you were trying to torture us or if you were trying to broaden our thoughts or what you were trying to do, but you donated and we appreciate that. And we tried. I'd say we tried to do a good job of it, right?
Yeah, we always do.
We always do try. We're just like
I was here the same amount that I am all the time.
You know,
I was here.
George, you were recently praised by Trev for doing more than just being here.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Well, you did really fucking good in that episode, man.
Which one was that again?
It was the experts. Oh my fucking word! This guy. This guy.
I fucking forgot, man.
Yeah, no shit, dude. So, anyway, the experts was the one that was by Dave Thomas, and you kind of did a deep dive
into that one, man.
No, it was a good episode though. The movie, yeah, fuck the movie, but the episode was good because like Chris was like, I think that you kind of just see that comparison to Strange Brew because you know Strange Brew well, and I my thought was like it will probably just sit there. Maybe like we'll give an example or two, but like you did a deep dive into like comparing the two and you did a very good job of it. And I like to praise you. So take that as a very high compliment.
I don't think you like to praise anybody.
I love Stephanie to praise both of you
and your children.
Listen, okay. We got a little bit of extra time here. All right. Listen, sit back and enjoy this. Okay.
Chris,
you do a phenomenal job of producing our show.
Here we go.
And you have learned so much in the year plus that we've been doing this show about movies and about being a host of a podcast. And you have blossomed to have your own opinions. And oftentimes those opinions are very intelligent and very informative. Okay, and I love you.
What I'm trying to say, Chris,
is fantastic.
That we are both fans of producer Chris.
All right, so George, you did really, really good in that episode of The Experts.
Oh, thanks, man.
That's the end of that. No, George, listen.
I'll take it when I can get it.
Without you, I would have no one to beat up on, and our show would be way more boring. Because it would just be like me saying things and swaying Chris. Chris might like start out disagreeing with me, but he's always very quick to be like, no, that makes sense. You, on the other hand, George, will be very obviously wrong, be self-aware that you're wrong, and still argue with me. And you need that kind of shit on a show. That's important.
I agree.
That keeps it fresh.
You play an important role.
Yes.
In this show.
You know.
Well, anytime that we need to fill space by saying fuck Dan, I'll be here.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I can just count on you for a good fuck Dan. okay. Well, that's all I got.
Bye.